Praise God. Well, I'm greatly honored to be here with you all today. Let's all stand up and have a word of prayer. Father, we come to your presence in the name of your Son, Jesus, who died for us upon the cross, taking upon himself our sins, our diseases, our failures, our shortcomings. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done in our lives. We honor you, we glorify you this morning. Lord, I ask you that your word would find a dwelling place in our hearts, that you would do your work in us, that we may grow and bear much fruit for your glory. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Once again, as I said, I'm greatly honored to be here. And is my team here? My guys, are they here? Where are you? Oh, you guys are sitting there. Stand up, all of you. This is four of my team. There's two others, but they're not here. And this is Pastor Farai. He's leading the team now. And Junius. And then we got Patrick. And we got Selinga. Selinga is our sound guy. Patrick is our electrician and truck driver. And Junius, he works with electric. And he's also our worship leader. Praise God. So glad to be here. Praise God. Amen. So we are in Linda this week, and God has done really wonderful things. And you know, it's some of the things really touch our hearts. Like last night, there was a lady who came with a little boy. She came with this little boy, and she said that he was deaf, and in 1 year, completely deaf, and now he can hear. And I said, "Are you his mother?" He says, "No, I don't know him." I said, "Well, are you related to each other?" He said, "No." I said, "How did you bring him?" She said, "Well, I was coming to the crusade and this little boy was on the street, and he said, 'Excuse me, are you going to the crusade?'" And she said, "Yes." She said, "Can you please take me with you? And because I'm deaf, I want my hearing." And so she said, "So I brought him with me and God healed him." And that really touched my heart, because there's people who care, you know. It's really, really, really wonderful to see things like that. So it's been good. And next week we are in Chawama. So those of you who can come to Chawama, you're welcome. We start on Wednesday. We go until Sunday. And then I'm back in June. We'll be doing 8 crusades in Zambia this year. In June, I'll be in Mansa, in a place called Maiteneke. And I was there a little over a year ago, year and a half ago, in October 2023. It was interesting because when I landed at the airport and my team was driving me to the hotel, they said, "Pastor, we just want you to know there's a lot of witchcraft here." Now, I know, you know, in America where I live, when people talk about witchcraft, they think, you know, having a troublesome mother-in-law, that's witchcraft, you know. But there's real witchcraft here, you know. So I said, "Really?" They say, "Yeah, there's a witch doctor here, and he's famous because he kills people by putting spell on them." And then they said that the pastors are terrified of him, as are the police. The police are scared of him. Everybody's scared of him. I said, "Okay." So, I don't normally pay much attention to these people, because our attention should be focused on Jesus. And so anyway, when I was preaching, so one night, the man shows up at the crusade. And I didn't know it was him. I didn't know what he looked like. I had never met him, didn't know his name. I just heard that there was such a man. But I found out later on, he came up on the platform but he had told the ushers that something like he wanted to share what God had done for him. So they were very happy. They thought he had a change of heart. Anyway, he got up and he said something in the local language, and they didn't translate for me. Because the pastor translating me was very scared. But when he finished, the whole crowd laughed, like he must have mocked us or something. Anyway, so everybody laughed. But as he was going down, I looked at him. I said, "Sir, it's a dangerous thing to mock the Spirit of God." So he looked at me, smiled, and then he left. When he came home, he dropped dead. And he dropped dead, and the fear of God came on the town. And people began to, the crowds grew, many people were saved. And then a few months later, we received a letter, not me, but my team leader, Pastor Mavondo, received news. And they said that there's a revival move of God in town, that fear of witchcraft is broken, and there's wonderful things happening. Can you come back for another crusade? and also to teach pastors. So I'm going back there in June. So we are excited about what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. So anyway, so I just want to share that with you. Now let us go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So in Acts chapter 1, we read about Jesus with the disciples. And it says here in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart." Is it okay?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Pastor Walker told me that he had this tape, you know, which they put on your chin. They had it for Africans, which was a dark tape. And they had somewhere for white people, a white tape. But they didn't have anything in my color. I'm kind of 50-50 in between. So, you know, that's not good. So keep a stock of tape in my color also, you know. So, in the kingdom of God, we are all washed in the blood. We are the same color. Amen? Praise God. Okay, anyway, let's go back to... So, it says in Acts 1:4-5, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So, these were like the last, you know, just before Jesus ascended to heaven. This is one of the last things he said. He told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he told them, you shall receive power and all that. But then he tells them, he was gathered together with them and he commanded them. This is a commandment, not a suggestion, but a commandment. Because there are certain times in the Bible when Jesus commanded the disciples different things, and they're very significant. One command was that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You know, that was one command. Another commandment is that we should love one another as Christ has loved us. That's a commandment. That's the commandment of love. And this is another commandment. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise was, "For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." In other words, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is a direct commandment of Jesus. It's not offered to us as a suggestion, but he wants us to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this is very important, because if you go to understand the Trinity, God the Father is in heaven, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but the Holy Spirit is here. And everything that the Father and the Son say or do, they do through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's involvement in our lives and our involvement with Him and His Lordship in our lives is of utmost importance. Both in our personal lives and in ministry, because those are the different, you know, aspects of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. My personal life and, you know, His leading, His guidance and all that. And then ministry-wise also, if we are going to be effective in reaching people, in helping people, let's put it that way. Because ministry is not just teaching and preaching, but it's also helping people, working with people. So we need the Holy Spirit to do that, right? And so, you know, there are things like counseling and, you know, there's things, good things you can learn through education. And they're good, but they can never replace the work of the Holy Spirit. They can never. They can supplement the work of the Holy Spirit. We can add that element to it. But the work of the Holy Spirit is very important. And that's why he commanded them that you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's a commandment. So it's a commandment for all of us to seek the Holy Spirit. So sometimes people say, well, you know, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but, you know, I have not received. I say, well, keep on seeking. Keep on seeking. And they say, well, why haven't I received so far? I don't know. It could be that God really wants us to be hungry. Because it's only when we are really hungry that we receive the things of God. So there has to be hunger. So then anyway, Acts chapter 2 verses 2 to 4. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So when the day of Pentecost came, that was the day God had chosen to pour down the Holy Spirit. They were all with one accord in one place. And when I read that the first time, I was thinking, were they really all there? Because the Bible says they were all there. Yes and no. Because there were 500 people who saw Jesus after he was risen from the dead. But only 120 of them came to receive the Holy Spirit. That means that there were 380 others who knew that Jesus was risen, but they were too busy doing other things to go to the next level, if you put it that way. So, but God looks at the hungry, and those are the people he counts. That's why he says they were all there. Were they all there? No. But were they all there? Yes, they were there. If you just look at those who are hungry, they were all there. And they are the ones who God counts. He doesn't really count the rest if you're not hungry. So it's not how much you know, but it's how hungry you are for God that determines where you'll go with this. So they were all there in one place. And then it says, tells us about when the Holy Ghost came. And it says here, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That means there were 120 people there, and 120 people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, but they spoke with other tongues. Okay? So, but here's the interesting thing about speaking in tongues. When Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, he never said anything about tongues. In fact, nobody in the Old Testament had ever spoken in tongues. So this was something that took them by surprise, and they began to speak in tongues, and that caused a lot of, it caused quite a stir, because all those people who were there for the Feast of Pentecost, they were from all these different nations. They came running when they heard the praises of God being declared in those different languages. And there are listed 17 different nations. I mean, people from 17 different nations who understood the disciples praising God in their language. So we know at least 17 different languages were spoken on the day of Pentecost, which is amazing. They spoke in tongues, and there were people who from 17 different language groups who understood what they were saying in their languages, because that's what they said. We are from all these places, and we hear the praises of God in our language. Now, but the thing is that many people, they have a disdain for speaking in tongues, because they say, oh, it's all gibberish. I went to a Pentecostal church and they were all shouting, it's all gibberish. It's not gibberish. Anything you don't understand can be gibberish if you're negative about it. Right? Now, I speak English, I speak Swedish, I speak Hindi, I speak Bengali, I speak Punjabi. So if you spoke Bengali, Punjabi, it won't be gibberish to me. But if you spoke Nyanja, it would sound like gibberish to me. But I am respectful enough to say that it is a language, but I don't know it. But if I'm disrespectful, I'll say these people are just talking gibberish. Maybe gibberish to me, but it's not gibberish to you. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's why when it comes to the subject of speaking in tongues, we have to realize it is of God, and we have to approach it respectfully. So that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the importance of speaking in other tongues, okay? So anyway, so when it comes to speaking in tongues, to give you a background, the first thing, the Bible talks about that it talks about diverse kinds of tongues, because which means that there are many different facets and expressions of tongues. It's not a speaking in other kinds of tongues isn't just one thing. It has got many, many different facets to it, and we will look at some of those. It's a very versatile gift, this gift of speaking in tongues. And the other thing is that tongues is the doorway to the other gifts. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And the first one is tongues, because that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Then there's interpretation of tongues. And then there's prophecy. Then there's the words of knowledge. That's when God shows you things about people and situations that you don't know in the natural. There's a word of wisdom. Then there's the gift of discernment of spirits. When you see in the spirit world and you see things that the natural eye cannot see. Then there's power gifts. You have the gift of working of miracles, the gifts of healing, the gift of faith. So these, and we need these gifts. We need these gifts. And sometimes in your personal life, you know, God, you need God to speak to you. For example, like a mundane thing, you might think it's funny. I'm always losing things. It's a typical husband thing, you know. You know, I don't know. And I don't know where it is, my keys or whatever. And my wife, she knows where everything is. Doesn't matter what it is. She has it. She says, oh, I can find it. And she finds it. And one day I remember I couldn't find my phone, my cell phone. This was last month. Disappeared. I looked for it all over. And I began to pray in tongues. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit said to me, look in that garbage can outside. And that's where, you know, we have a trash bags. We put, and we tie up those trash bags and we put them in the garbage can outside. And I went there and began to take out the trash bags. And right at the bottom was my phone. How it got there? Whether some angels or demons came and put it there? I don't know how it was there. But the Holy Spirit knew. I mean, it's, you might think it's funny, but it's little mundane things, you know. Then there's big things. Big things like, well, I can be counseling someone. Sometimes I counsel people in very, very difficult situations, and their whole life is an entanglement of hurts and pains. And suddenly the Lord shows me the situation this person has been through that has caused all this. And he gives me a word of knowledge. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that unlocks the whole thing. Sometimes, yeah, a thing like that is a key that unlocks things. You know, so then there's gifts of healings. You know, you pray for the sick. I was visiting my family in Bangladesh. And so I was an officer, a military officer. And there were these 4 or 5 of my seniors. They were all retired generals. So they came together. So I was staying in the home of a general, and so all these retired generals we were in the same military college together, so they knew me when I was young. So they all came to see me. We had dinner, and I was very respectful because I was the junior most guy there. You know, they were all generals, and then one of them I found out was dying of cancer, and he was dying of cancer, and he was in fact so depressed he didn't really want to come because he was so depressed because he was going to die, and. But he came anyway. So he came and he sat very quietly. Everyone else was telling stories, laughing, joking. So at the end, you know, when we were about to leave, he was sitting by himself. I went to him and I said, sir, you know, we still maintain military protocol, although we are all old and retired. So I said, sir, may I put my hands on you and pray for you? He said, yes, sir. I put my hands on him and prayed in the name of Jesus. But a couple of weeks later, they told me he was cancer-free. God had healed him. So, you know, we need these things. We need these things. We cannot, and they're all stem from this speaking in tongues. That's where it began. So, we can't have these things without speaking in tongues. And they're gifts from God. So anyway, so there's diverse kinds of tongues. The first thing about tongues is tongues, we see that in the book of Acts, that every time they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, they spoke with other tongues. So tongues is the initial outward evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there are 5 different places in the book of Acts where people received the Holy Spirit, and in each case they spoke in tongues, and in one place they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Okay? So that's the first thing. And there's different kinds and types of tongues. So the first is the outward evidence of the Spirit. The second level is tongues for personal edification and to worship God. Okay, this is not the outward evidence of the Spirit. We already have the Holy Spirit, but we speak in tongues for personal edification, to be built up. The Bible tells us that we speak in tongues to be built up in our inner man. Then we also speak in tongues when we worship God. We pray in the Spirit. We worship God. We praise God and we worship Him in our own language and in English or whatever we speak. But we also worship God in other tongues. Right? I don't mind if you say amen or make noise. I thought I was in a Pentecostal church, you know. Okay, I'm sorry if I'm waking you up, Lutheran people. So, but it's... The third is there are tongues for ministry. That's the next level. Tongues for ministry is when you speak in tongues, but it's not your personal edification or worship of God, but when you speak in tongues, the utterance in tongues carries a message for somebody else. It can be a prophecy. You know, when someone prophesies and there's a tongues and there's an interpretation, and you know, and then that carries a message. There's a Pentecostal church where I live, and it's about an hour from where I live, and I love to preach there because they really love the gifts of the Spirit. So there's always tongues and interpretation. And the last time I was there, somebody stood up and gave a message in tongues. And we were waiting for the interpretation. Then the drummer in that glass cage, he opens the door, sticks his head out, and gives the interpretation. I know that's great, you know, tongues and interpretation. And it's always edifying. It always builds people up. So that's tongues in ministry. So let's give some important truths about speaking in tongues. Firstly, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, the word tongues actually means languages in Greek. It's the word languages. So, forget about tongues, just say languages. We speak in different languages. So, do I speak with the tongues or languages of men and angels? So, there are languages of men. As I spoke, I can speak Hindi, Bengali, I speak English. My wife is Swedish, we speak Swedish at home. I'm speaking English to you. These are tongues of men. And some of them we know, depends upon where we grew up and how we grew up, you know, what we communicate. So those are tongues of men. But there are tongues of angels. There are tongues that angels speak to one another. But you and I have no way of knowing what they are because they are spoken by angels. But there's tongues of men. Sometimes when we pray in other tongues, we actually speak other languages that other people speak, but I don't speak. And I can give you an example. The first time I ever experienced it was many, many years ago. I was preaching in a Baptist church in Sweden. And I remember I was preaching and there was a couple who sat in the second row and they're following everything, checking the scriptures, you know. And then I thought, man, these people are really into the word, you know, they're checking the scriptures. And so when I did the altar call, who wants to receive Jesus? You're not saved. They stood up. So I thought, now there's something wrong here because they were going through the Bible, you know. So I said, please sit down. And I gave the invitation again. There were some other people also, but they stood up again. So anyway, so I asked them to come forward and they came and they stood in line. And I noticed, I thought these people are not Swedish because Swedish people are normally blonde and have blue eyes, but these people look more like me. So I thought they're probably from some other country. There's a lot of immigrants in Sweden. So anyway, so I have this habit when I lived in Sweden, or even when I'm there, when I pray for people, I pray in Swedish, then I'll pray in English, then I'll pray in tongues. And I don't know why I do, it's just a habit I've developed. So I prayed in Swedish, I prayed in English, I prayed in tongues for the husband, then I prayed for the wife, and then on and on I went. So the next morning, I was staying in the pastor's house, and he said, Brother Christopher, you know that couple, that dark couple who were at the meeting, who got saved? I said, yes. He says, they called me, they want to see you before the service. I said, sure, we can meet. So at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the evening service was at 6, so I met them in the church. So, and they had with them their son. He was 21 years of age, and he seemed to be very scared of me. So anyway, I tried to put him at ease. So I said, where are you guys from? And they said, we are from Yugoslavia. So then I understood, because they looked like Yugoslavs. But in those days, you had Yugoslavia. Now Yugoslavia is divided into different countries, and they are from what is now known as Croatia. So they said, we are from Yugoslavia. So I said to the boy, so you speak Serbo-Croatian? Because I had never heard Serbo-Croatian, but I know that's the language they spoke in Yugoslavia. And he said, yes. Then the mother, the wife said, yeah, pastor, but you speak beautiful Serbo-Croatian. Where did you learn Serbo-Croatian? I said, I don't know Serbo-Croatian. In fact, I've never heard it being spoken. They said, no, no, come on, you spoke it last evening. I said, when did I speak Serbo-Croatian? And she said, well, you, when you began to pray for us, you went to my husband, you put your hand on him, and you prayed in Swedish, you prayed in English, and you prayed the exact same thing in Serbo-Croatian. Not only that, but you prayed for him by name. You didn't know his name. And then you even prayed for his needs, the things he wanted. And then you came to me and you did the same thing to me. You prayed in Swedish, you prayed in English, and then you prayed in Serbo-Croatian, mentioning me by name. And you prayed for some sickness I had. I had never told you that. Then you did the same thing. So where did you learn Serbo-Croatian? And that's when I realized, oh, I was speaking in tongues. Serbo-Croatian. Now, I had heard of such things, but I didn't know it was happening then. Because, you see, let me tell you this thing. When the Holy Spirit is moving on you like that, very often, or I should say almost all the time, you don't know that is happening. You know what I'm saying? Because if your mind gets in the way, it'll really mess things up. So I had no idea. Then I said, oh, I was speaking in tongues. What's that? And then they said, you know, we were Jehovah's Witnesses. So that's why they're looking to the Bible. And we don't believe in these things. But we got saved when we heard you speak Serbo-Croatian. And so now this son, the boy, is very afraid now. Because he was, you know, he thought I was like a witch doctor or something. So he, you know, he was really, really scared. And so I began to talk to him. I said, can I pray with you? He said, no, don't. And don't touch me. Then I said, so why are you afraid that I should pray for you? He says, okay, you can pray for me, but you stand in the other corner of the room. Don't be close to me. So I stood in the other corner of the room, and I put my hands up, and I began to pray in tongues, because I didn't know what to pray. My mind didn't know. I didn't know what to pray for him. So I began to pray in tongues, and the mother jumps up. You're doing the same thing again. You're praying for our son in Serbo-Croatian. And you're praying for him by name. That young man is a Pentecostal pastor today in Sweden. You see, these are things we need. And several times it has happened to me. Once I was told that I was praying in Finnish by a lady from Finland. And once I was in a prayer meeting and a missionary from Tanzania, he said, you're praying in Swahili. I don't speak Swahili except I can say Hakuna Matata, you know, but I don't speak Swahili. But you know, what I'm trying to say, these things are of God and we need them. I want them. Because I remember when I was a young Christian, the first 4 years, and I was very zealous for evangelism. We used to go out and preach the gospel with people. The only thing was that nobody was getting saved. And so I remember reading the Bible, trying to figure out what was wrong. But the thing I noticed that in the Bible, it was full of miracles. There were gifts of the Spirit flowing, the miracles in the ministry of Jesus and in the book of Acts. And I was so hungry and I began to ask what's happening, you know. So I didn't know where to seek guidance. So I went to my pastor, and that was I won't tell you what denomination it was, because if I did, the Lutherans would be unhappy. But he just blew me off and said that, we don't believe in these things in our church. So he didn't believe. So I went to another pastor, and he looked at me. He said, who do you think you are? You're just a young guy. These gifts are for today, but very few people have them because you have to be very holy and you don't qualify, you know. So I said, thank you, you know. And so there was nobody to help me. So I remember I was alone at home, really, and my wife was at work. I was alone at home. I was like almost depressed because I wanted so much more, but there was no one to guide me. Then there was a knock on my door, and I opened my door, and I see Pastor Tolosa Gudina. He was an Ethiopian Lutheran pastor, but this man used to scare me. He was so full of Jesus, you know. Every time he was so full of Jesus that he used to scare me. So if we were ever, I used to avoid him. And if I was in the same room with him, I tried to sit as far as possible. Because I didn't want him to look at me and, you know, tell me about all that I had done. It was like being with Brother Hagin. You know, I knew Brother Hagin very well personally. But before I got to know him, I was so scared of him. I was scared that he would look at me and make a list of all my failures, you know. So he came, then he kind of invited himself into our apartment, and he said, "What's wrong with you?" So before I could say anything, he said, "Get down on your knees." So I got down on my knees, and he put his hands on me. And he was like, have you seen Ethiopians? They're normally very tall and skinny, and they've got big hands with long fingers. So you know, his hands were here, and his fingers went all the way from my head. So I felt his like hands on my head, and I remember I closed my eyes. I didn't know what he's going to do. I was so scared. And then I heard him whisper. Sometimes people think they have to shout for God to do something. You don't have to shout. He whispered. He says, "Father, fill him with the Holy Spirit." Moment he said that, it's like a flame of fire came down and began to burn in me, and I found myself shouting in a language I had never heard before. I was speaking in tongues, and I went on and on and on, maybe 45 minutes or an hour, I don't know how long. But when I finally stopped, I opened my eyes, Pastor Tolosa was gone. And that was the turning point in my life. I was so excited when my wife came home. I told her, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues. And she said innocently, "Can I hear it?" So I said, "Yes." So I spoke in tongues and she said, "Okay, that was very good. But that language, it sounded like a mixture of Chinese and Hottentot and whatever." And she said, "That one is for personal use, okay? At home only. If you're going to speak in tongues outside, ask God to give you another language." So, you know. So that's when I began to understand some of these things. You know, I began to learn. Then I saw things in the Bible and it began to make sense. So we speak in tongues of men. That's one thing I understood. Then we speak in tongues of angels, but we don't understand. When we speak in tongues of men, it is often intended for somebody there who hears what we say, and you know, God is speaking to them. Okay, second thing is 1 Corinthians 14:4. It says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. When we speak in an unknown tongue, we build ourselves up. The word edify, you know, there's a word called edifice. Edifice is a building. So edify means it's like you build yourself up, like you're building a building. You build yourself up while you speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you build yourself up. That's why I like to speak in tongues, you know, all the time. When I'm driving a car alone, I'm speaking in tongues. When I'm laying in bed, resting, I'm speaking in tongues. You know, and by the way, another thing I forgot to mention in the first service is that sometimes, you know, the stress of life, when I'm very stressed and there's a lot of pressure on me, and sometimes I can feel my pulse rate go up. I lay down and begin to speak in tongues and suddenly everything comes to rest. Tongues builds us up. When we speak in tongues, we build us up. Then it says in Jude Chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." When we pray in tongues, we build our faith up. We build ourselves up in faith. One thing it does, when you speak in tongues, it makes you more sensitive to hearing the voice of God. One of the things that people complain to me about, they say, "I'm a sincere Christian, but I cannot hear the voice of God. Well, the reason is, in our day and age, we have something that I call sensory overload. You know, we have got, our minds are constantly bombarded by so much information. You know, you're sitting in front of your computer screen, there's all that information bombarding your mind. Even on your phone, you don't have to sit in front of your computer. You have your phone, there's information there. And then, of course, you have TV, there's media, there's so much more. When I was a kid, we didn't have all that. Our minds weren't as cluttered as people's minds are cluttered today. So all this thing, it's just too much for us to handle. And in the middle of these, all these voices trying to speak to us, God is speaking to us. And often God, He speaks in a still small voice. You will see that in the Bible. God doesn't scream at us. And so we have to come to a place where we can hear. It's not that God is not speaking, but we are hearing so many things that we don't hear. You know, when I was small, the biggest source of entertainment we had was the radio. So you switch on the radio. Now those of you who are, I'm 71, people of my age and around my age, you will remember when you listen to the radio, you know, you're flipping through the dials, you hear Morse code. You remember? Remember those sounds? And you know what that is? That might sound random noise. I used to think this is random noise. Until I studied to be a merchant navy radio officer. And one of the things we learned was to communicate in Morse. And suddenly those noises we heard, they were actually dots and dashes, and they spelt out letters of the alphabet, and I learned to send and receive in Morse. And so suddenly all those dots and dashes, I could sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and write down. It made sense to me. Didn't make sense to me when I didn't know Morse, but when I understood Morse, it made sense to me. And then when you're going through the radio, there's so many channels. There's like hundreds of people, you know, transmitting in Morse code. It's not used so much anymore. But there's ships and there's land stations and even aeroplanes. They're all talking to each other in Morse. But one of them is trying to speak to you. And you know the frequency. So you have to go to the frequency and you type until all the other sounds are gone. And this one is speaking to you. And that, you know, this one is speaking to me. And that's the signal coming through to you. So ignore the other signals and you begin to write down the message. So in the same way, in the spiritual, we hear all these voices, all this information bombarding our voices, our minds. So you tune in to God. Quieten yourself. Be sensitive to His Spirit until you begin to hear from Him. And how do you get sensitive in your spirit? Two things. Firstly, speak in tongues. Because when you speak in tongues, when you pray in English or in any other language, everything is processed through your mind. But when you pray in tongues, you switch your mind off and you pray in the Spirit. And that's the time when your flesh, your mind is put to rest and your spirit has the ascendancy. So your mind is desensitized and your spirit is sensitized, becomes sensitive, and you become sensitive to receiving those signals and God can speak to you. That's the first thing you can do, speak in tongues. So when I want to calm down my spirit and I want to hear from God, I begin to pray in tongues. I pray in tongues, I pray in tongues, suddenly everything calms down. My mind calms down because my mind is racing 1,000 miles an hour, you know. Everything's going through mind. Has that ever happened to you? Your mind is racing. And I went to a doctor and the doctor said, you have a attention deficit disorder. Disorder, I don't know. So, ADD. And so he said, I had ADD. I knew there was something wrong with me, but I didn't know it was this. And so, and that's like everything going through your mind and you get confused and you can't focus and all that. And so one way to do that is just calm down your flesh and your mind. And you can achieve that by praying in tongues. Make it a habit of... That's why Paul... You know what Paul said? I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. I don't know whether he had ADD, but he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So, because you pray in tongues, and that kind of desensitizes your mind. Your mind calms down and your spirit becomes sensitive to the Spirit of God, and God can speak to you. That's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is to unclutter your mind. Switch off or eliminate some of the sources of the sensory overload in your mind. Don't watch too much TV. You know, I used to love to watch TV. I've been in my hotel for a whole week. I've not watched anything on TV. I'm very selective about what I watch. Just something, I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm speaking about, you know, sometimes there are things that are not necessarily sinful, but they take too much of space in your hard drive. And you get cluttered. So you unclutter your life. Get rid of some of these things that really have no value. You know, they have no value in your life, and but they just take up space in your mind. So speak in tongues and unclutter your mind, and that's when you'll see God is going to speak to you. Amen? Okay, so another benefit of speaking in tongues, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth us in our infirmities. This Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes you feel like the spirit of prayer, I have to pray. Has that ever happened to you? You feel an urge to pray, but you don't know what to pray for. But then the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So that's when you begin to pray. You begin to pray in tongues. You begin to pray in tongues. Even if your mind can't keep up with what's going on, you pray in tongues. You pray in tongues. You pray in tongues. And sometimes it gets so intense, you can begin to groan and even weep. And those are the times you could be praying for somebody else in trouble. You could be praying for somebody else. There are times I've been in a bad situation in a foreign country, and then when I come home, somebody says, "Brother, on the 20th of December, were you in such and such place and situation?" I said, "Yeah, how do you know?" He said, "God told me to pray for you, woke me up in the middle of the night, I was praying for you." Thank God for people who can hear from God. Thank God for people like that. So the Holy Spirit helps us, okay? So, 1 Corinthians 14:14-15, it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That means when I pray in tongues, my spirit man prays, but although my mind doesn't know what's going on. You know, we want to be in control. We want to understand everything. But when it comes to the things of God, many times we don't understand. We just go with the flow. And God works in our obedience. So he says, my spirit prays, but our mind is unfruitful. Then Paul says, I will pray in the spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. That means I will pray in tongues, but I will also pray in English. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. So you can pray with the spirit, and you can sing in the spirit. You can pray with the understanding. You can sing with the understanding. So, I was going to go on, but I don't have time. I'll quit here. But I want to say, to finish, one last thing. If you desire to have the Holy Spirit work in your life, you have to remember that the Holy Spirit is not a thing or a tool that we use. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He is to be approached with worship. You know, sometimes we understand, we worship God the Father, God the Son, but the Holy Spirit, we don't really know. He's a thing that comes around, and sometimes he comes to church on Sunday, and that's when people fall and they laugh and they have a good time. No, the Holy Spirit is God. He didn't come to entertain us. He's God. So if you want to walk with the Holy Spirit, you know, somebody said to me, the Holy Spirit, his first name is Holy. You got to remember that. God is holy. So, the first thing, if we want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and walk with God and have the gifts of the Spirit, is to have a strong walk with God. Have a strong walk with God. Be totally committed. Now, it doesn't mean you'll be perfect. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Even Paul says, the things I do, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing them. And the things I shouldn't do, you know, that kind of thing. So, nobody's perfect. But if you live a life of repentance, constantly walking with God, making things right, and staying in the Word, staying in prayer, you'll get better and better and better until we stand before Jesus one day, and then we will look exactly like Him. But until that day comes, we are on a journey. But have a strong walk with God. In spite of our human weaknesses, have a strong walk with God. That's the first thing. Be totally committed. Don't live a double life. You know, that I'm in church, but I have this side of my life I like to keep secret. And don't do that. Because there's too many people doing that. I hear things like that all the time. People live ungodly lives, you know. So live a godly life. Have a strong walk with God. That's the first thing. Secondly, never violate your own conscience. That means that if you do something that you know is wrong, your conscience will always bother you. And if your conscience bothers you, you will never be able to exercise faith. One of the prerequisites to exercising faith successfully is to have a clean conscience. That's why Paul talks about having faith and a good conscience. Maintain faith and maintain a good conscience. Walk with God and make sure you don't violate your own conscience. But if you do, be quick to repent, be quick to make things right. All right? So, these are the things, you know. And then, I was going to talk about, which I'm not going to talk about, I'm going to talk about prophecy, because that continues, you know, tongues and interpretation and prophecy. And prophecy is to build up people. It is not to manipulate people or to control people. Prophecy should never be used to control or manipulate people. It is to build people up. Amen? Prophecy is not to condemn people or to tell people how bad they are. You know, prophecy is to build people up. But anyway, these are the things that God wants to give us. So it's a whole new world when we begin to walk with the Holy Spirit. You know, baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, walking with God, letting the Holy Spirit have full play in our lives and letting Him speak to us and lead us and guide us in everyday life and in our lives and in our ministry. When we minister to people, when we help people, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to be involved with us. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together.